Before we move back to Newport, is there anything else that comes to mind about Bryn Mawr?
Well, there are a couple of stories I heard from Bryn Mawr. In fact, one related to my wife's great-grandfather. On the Day of Atonement, which is a 25-hour fast day, we don't have any food or water or anything to eat or drink, her great-grandfather used to come to the synagogue. The service starts in the morning and goes on through the whole day. And by the afternoon, people are beginning to wilt a little bit. And every afternoon, he used to faint. And they had to take him outside, bring him round before he went to the restroom. And every year he used to say to them, "Don't worry, this year the doctors have told me that I will be fine, nothing will happen to me." So same part of the service practice, down he would go, they'd drag him out, stick him in a chair, throw a bucket of water over him to bring him round. I never met him, but he was quite a character. There were other characters in the community. I've written some of them down, but there was one gentleman who came from Bessarabia, a great heavy fellow. The synagogue had two rows of long benches, rows of pews along both sides. And he used to sit in the back row. And if he wanted to get out, he would never ask anybody to move. He used to stand up, put his hand underneath his leg and lift it clean over the person in front of him so he could get out. There were other incidents in the synagogue. There was one occasion on the Rejoicing of the Law, which is a very happy festival, and everybody is called to a reading from the scroll. And it's a custom after you've been called up, you have a little drink to make a blessing over the holy day. But one year the minister decided that everybody was called up, he would have a drink with them as well. So by the time the ending was going, he was quite merry. And he locked the doors of the synagogue and refused to let anybody out until he danced with them all through the time. The kids apparently wanted to break the windows, but the older people wouldn't let them. Yeah. And eventually they overpowered him and got the keys and opened up. There was another one my father told me about, which was the Hebrew classes are called cheder. Mm-hmm. It literally means it's a Hebrew word for a room. But the teacher told off one of the boys and caned him. And the rest of the class thought this was totally unjustified. So they tipped the teacher over the desk and caned him. Mm-hmm. And then they marched out of the room and stood outside and said, "Unless you apologize, we're not coming in." Mm-hmm. Well, he wasn't going to apologize, and he wasn't going to go to the community and say that your boys whipped me. Mm-hmm. So the boys used to go to Hebrew class on a Saturday afternoon, Sunday morning, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. Right. They used to turn up or gather outside and say to the teacher, "Are you going to apologize?" Mm-hmm. He would say no. So the kids would play outside until the requisite time, then they'd all go home. They'd make up some story to their parents and what they'd learned and the rest of it. This went on for several weeks, if not months, until one of the parents came to speak to the teacher during the time the lesson was supposed to be going on. I saw these kids playing around. The whole story tumbled out. Mm-hmm. There were some very sore backsides that night. That brought the end to the Cheder boys' revolt. The father said they used to play cricket and football with the local church teams. They never played on a Saturday, but they would play other days, and they were quite a respected team.
So there was a Cheder held in the synagogue itself?
Yes, yeah. There was a room at the back of the synagogue.
Okay.
I suppose there are other stories. I can't think of any for the moment.
Okay.
I did write some down, which you may find some others in there.
Okay. This is your note. Tell us my father told me.
Yes, yes.